Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Yud Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins four lines from the top of Daf Yud Tes at the Mishnah. Before we look into the Mishnah, we glance at the margin of our Gemara where you see a nosei, a topic heading listed, and we've written Chamisha Tzvoim Hametamim, five colors that if this exudes from the woman, we will establish her as being Tamea. The Mishnah. Chamisha domim Tamea Bisha. There are five types of blood colors that would result in the woman becoming Tamea. Now, these halachas apply to a flow that comes from her. Oftentimes, it's established whether or not she's experiencing some type of blood release by inserting a white checking cloth to the orifice that is responsible for these laws. And if the color on the orifice matches, on the checking cloth, matches one of these colors mentioned in the Mishnah, we will declare the woman to be Tamea. These halachas also have relevance to stains found on clothing that she is wearing. If she is wearing clothing and one of these colors appears as a stain on her garment, we will assume that it's coming from a blood source that would make her tamei. So the issue of color is very important, and that will preoccupy us for the balance of the shiur. The Mishnah says that there are five colors or five types of blood that would make the woman tamei: ha'adoim, v'hashachor, red, black, Keren Karkoim. Keren Karkoim is something that Rashi offers two possibilities. Either it's the corner of a garden, probably the earth color in which Karkoim, it's a type of plant, grows, or it's the plant itself, the type of glow or radiance that this plant produces. It's a certain level of redness. Uchememe Adoma. This will be explained later in the Gemara, but literally it has to do with the water associated with earthen water, and uchemozug. Mozug has to do with wine that is mixed with water. Beishamai omrim af ke meime tilson uchememe bosor tzli. Beishamai adds the meime tilson, which would be water from the tilson plant, and the meimei boser tzli is the exusion from roasted meat. These are all colors. And Ubeis Hillel mitarim. Beis Hillel disagrees with Beis Shammai and says that these colors are not a sufficient level of redness to warrant declaring the woman tamea. Hayoroik. Now, the word yoroik in modern Hebrew has one connotation, but in Talmudic Hebrew, yoroik implies something yellow. If you want to express something green, you would use the expression yoroik kekarsi. This is alluded to in the Tosfos that's found on the top of Omid Beis. So, focusing on yorok, for the time being, something in the realm of a yellowish color, Akavya ben Mahalel mitame, v'chachomim mitarin. You have a machlukis between these two opinions, whether or not it is tome. Omar Rebbe Meir, im eino mitame mishum kesem, mitame mishum mashke. Rebbe Meir says, if you're not going to say that the yorok is mitame as a blood stain, let it be metama as a mashke. Now this will be the subject of a discussion in the Gemara later, so we will proceed for the time being. Rabbi Yossi Oimer Loikach Veloikach. which would indicate not nida, namely not a kesem. Kesem is a stain that is has to do with nidus, and not mishum mashke either. Eizehu adoim. The Mishnah mentioned in the first of the five colors that were responsible for tumah, it mentioned red. What is meant by red? Answer: kedam hamaka, like the blood of an injury. Shachor kecheres. Shachor is black, like cheres. Cheres is explained by Rashi using a French word. So we will leave it aside for the time being. Simply, based on the Gemara later, it's associated with something to do with ink. Omoik mikain, if it's of a deeper hue than these, then tome. Diha mikain, if it's lighter in color, tohor. She would not be tome, she would still be tohor. Ukikeren karkoim. This was mentioned in the Mishnah as well. That's kiborur sheboi. The Rashi says across from here, kibor shebo sheish olin brurin b'mare admumis yoyser mechaver. And there are, this plant, the karkom, has leaves on it, and there are leaves that are of a brighter red than others. So it's the brightest red of them that is the red, or is the color referred to in the Mishnah. Uchameime adoma. We spoke about water and earth mixed with water. What adoma are we referring to? This, by the way, was the fourth example in the Mishnah. So it's mibikas beis kerem. It's earth taken from this region of Israel called bikas beis kerem. Umatzif mayim. And you would have a, let's say, a bowl filled with this dirt. And then you would pour water over the dirt. And the water that's floating over the dirt will reflect a certain color, and that's the color that the Mishnah is referring to. Uchemozug, this was the fifth example in the Mishnah. Mozug has to do with a color associated with diluted wine. Shnei chalokim mayim, two parts water. V'echod yayin, one part pure wine. Min hayayin hasharoni, using wine coming from the Sharon region of Israel. The Gemara. We have a topic heading introducing this section of Gemara, the Nosei, which reads, Minolon bi'ika dam tohor bi'isha. From where do we know that there is such a thing as dam that is not metame, the woman? Our Mishnah made a reference to different colors of exusion coming forth from the woman, five that would be responsible for making her tamea, but other kinds of other red levels, if you will not make her tamea. So we're calling that dam that is tohor, dam that does not result in her becoming tamea. So where is there a basis for saying that there is such a thing? The Gemara, Minolon diko dam tohor b'isha. From where do you know there is such a phenomenon of dam that is tohor? Dilma kol dam d'asi mino tome. Maybe all blood that comes from her, that exudes forth from that particular orifice, makes her tamea. So where do we know that there is such a thing as dam tohor? Omar Rabbi Chama bar Yosef, Omar Rabbi Shaya, Omar Kro. A pasuk is introduced, and just a word of background to this pasuk. This pasuk is dealing with the topic of a controversy between a sage and the great court in Yerushalayim, the Sanhedrin Agodol. The parsha is known as Zokein Mamre, and that involves a person who was arguing with local courts regarding how to rule on a particular matter, and he insists on his opinion against the opinion of the local court. Eventually, the case is brought to the high court that sits in the Beis HaMikdash, the Sanhedrin HaGadol, and the Zokein Mamre, if he continues to argue with the great court that sits in Yerushalayim, in the Lishkas HaGozes, and then goes back to his community and rules according to his own opinion against that of the great court, and he rules like he was originally saying, and tells people to do like he says, in opposition to the court, he is chayav misa. He's chayav death penalty. This is featured in Maseches Sanhedrin, where an entire perek, where an entire section is dedicated to this particular issue. The pasuk reads as follows: Ki pole mimcho dovar la mishpat. When a matter of legal controversy comes up, bein dam ledam. The pasuk goes on to say bein nega lenega, and etc. But for our purposes right now, it says when a controversy arises between the zokein and who the zokein mamre and the court regarding dam, regarding blood, and it says an issue bein dam ledam. What does that double expression mean between blood and blood? So the explanation is bein dam tohor ledam tomei. In other words, there is an argument that arises between this particular sage, eventually we call him the rebellious sage, and the court, and they are arguing: is the dam in question considered tohor, or is it considered tomei? So you see in this pasuk a reference or an allusion to the existence of something called dam tohor, dam that does not result in tumah. And as far as the pasuk is concerned, it's reflecting an argument that arises between this particular dissenting sage and the rest of the court. Is the dam in question that they happen to have their controversy over, is it considered tohor or is it considered tomei? Just again, once again, for repetition's sake, we see here a reference to the existence of something called dam tohor, and so we have found what we are looking for. The Gemara asks a question. Now, this question lasts a number of lines. We call this a long question marking. And you see a kuf encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. All of these lines constitute the question. The Gemara asks, Ela me'ato, if that is the way you want to learn the pasuk bein dam ledam, so using the same license, Ela me'ato bein nega lenega, which is also found in the pasuk, Hachi nami, are you going to say likewise bein nega tome lenega tor, that a controversy arises between them regarding the classification of a nega? Nega is in the realm of tzora'as, which is generally associated with certain types of skin discolorations. Are you going to say there's such a thing as a nega that's tome and a nega that's tor? And the argument between this particular scholar against the court is a matter like this. One is saying that the nega is tome, and the other is saying the nega is tohor. V'chi teima hochinami, and if you say that's right, that's what they're arguing about. There is a particular discoloration, and one is claiming that it's tome, and the other side is claiming that it's tohor. Yeah, but nega tohor miko, is there such a thing as a nega that's tohor? Well, you'll say, well, isn't there such a thing? It says in the pasuk, it says, "Kulo hafach lavon tohorhu," that if the entire person becomes covered with nega, with this discoloration, he is tohor. So you see that tohor is in the pasuk in the context of negoyim. The Gemara says, "Hahu bohak mikri," that's not called a nega anymore. If the discoloration covers his body and it results in Tahara, it's not called nega. Elo, so what does bein nega lenega mean? It means as follows: bein nige odom, lenige botim, ulenige begodim, vekulon temein. That a controversy arises between the sage and the rest of the court regarding negoyim of people that affect people, or negoyim that affect houses, or negoyim that affect clothing. But all of them are tame. They have a controversy whether or not the nega is to be tame. But there's no controversy regarding something called a nega tohor, because there is no such thing. So, hocha nami, here too, with the case of the blood, bein dam nida Ladam Ziva, Vikulan Tamein. They are arguing regarding the, in other words, the double expression in the Pasuk is a reference to Dam that's, is it Nida blood, or Dam that's Ziva blood. Ziva is a different period of the month that if she sees blood, she would also become Tamea. But all of the different kinds of blood referred to are Tomei type blood. And they are simply arguing whether or not this particular sighting makes her Tomei or not. But not to suggest that there is such a thing as blood that is Tohar, that there's a particular kind of blood that would be called Tohar. As we look at this particular pasuk, we noticed that it said Bein Dam Ladam, and we're raising the possibility that just like Bein Nega LeNega, each one of those elements is something that is Tomei, and there's a machlokis concerning Nigei Odom, or there's a machlokis concerning Nigei Botim, or a machlokis concerning Nigei Begodim. So too, why not say that Bein Dam Ladam is a machlokis, as the Gemara says here at the last line of the question, Hochanami Bein Dam Nida Ladam Ziva V'kulan Tameim, that they're arguing as to whether or not the Dam is Dam Nida, or they're arguing as to whether or not it is Dam Ziva, but the reference to Dam in both cases is Dam that is Tomei. So the Gemara answers, Hi, my, how can you prove from the Bein Nega LeNega to the to explaining Bein Dam LeDam? Bishlama Hosam Iko LeFlugi. With regard to the Negoyim, there is room for an argument between the Zokein Mamre and the Beis Din, and the Gemara will proceed. You'll notice we have a very long answer in front of us where the Gemara shows that you can't compare the issue of Bein Nega LeNega to the issue of Bein Dam LeDam. The long answer marking appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, the tuf that's encircled, with a long vertical dashed line. And you'll notice diamonds in each case where an example will be featured within each category. Nigei Odom, Nigei Botim, Nigei Begodim. As you can see, each diamond highlights those expressions, how there could be an argument between the Zokein Mamre and the Chachomim within each one of these categories. However, at the end of this long question, you'll notice there's a source that appears toward the end of the long question, the long answer, that is, and at that point the Gemara says, Elohocha, that in the case of the blood, I dam tohor leko b'may pligi. If there is no such thing as dam tohor, then what would they be arguing about, namely the Zokein Mamre and the court? Therefore, we're forced to say that Bein Dam LeDam is that they're arguing regarding a particular exusion. Is it dam tohor or is it dam tomei, showing us that there is such a thing as dam tohor. So now let's go through all of the details that constitute this answer. Starting with the line, Hi, my, at the beginning of the long answer marking. Bishlama hasam iko leflugi. I understand there things work out well in the realm of Negoyim. There is what to argue about. If you notice the Rashi, Bishlama hasam gabi Negoyim, in the realm of Negoyim, afagav de kulhu letamei, even though each nega is a nega that potentially results in tuma, nigei odom, nigei begodim, nigei botim. We can set up the posik da airi beplukta de zokin mamim sanhedrin shibidoro. We can illustrate a machlokis, a controversy within each category between the zokin mamim, the rebellious sage, and the court of his generation. Dichtiv voish asher yaseh bezodoin. The pasuk says the one who does so, who rebels knowingly, kagon demiflegi benigei adam. For example, a machlokes concerning nigei adam ubeflukta de Rabbi Yeshua de komar zokin mamri kechad binayu, where the zokin mamri takes the position of one of the opinions, u sanhedrin kechad binayu, and the sanhedrin takes the side of the other opinion. And here, what the Gemara does is gives us examples of each one of those cases. Now, you'll notice that we also have brackets. This bracket is a long bracket. It basically encompasses almost the entire answer, but it's here to help just to see the reading, to make the reading smooth, whereby we read as we demonstrated before, Bishlam Ahasam Iko Liflugi, and then you skip the bracketed section and you read Elohacha by the blood, E Dam Tohar Leko B'mai Pliki. That's the essence of the answer. Everything else that we have included in these brackets, and we have a bracket length indicator, you can see the vertical dash dotted line that appears to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text, is to show you the length of the bracketed section. So now let's go over the details. We say that within the realm of Negoyim there is room for a controversy between the rebellious sage and the court. Benigei Adam, regarding negoyim that affect a human being, they will take sides, as you see a Tanaic, as you see in the following Tanaic controversy. We have a source now, and we're going to be interested primarily at what's stated at the end of this source. So Disnan, the source teaches us rules regarding negoyim. Im baheres koidem l'seir lavan, if a Baharis is a bright spot, a white spot on one's skin appears before a growth of white hair takes place in the middle of this bright spot. Tame, so if the order is first a Baharis appears and then a white hair grows forth from there, that would make the individual Tame, a Metzora Muchlot. If first a white hair developed and then a bright spot grew around the white hair, tohor, that would not make him into a mitzora. Sofek, if you don't know which came first, tome. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, keha. V'yomar Rabo, keha v'tohor. Rabbi Yeshua is saying that if you have a doubt, he is declared tohor. So that the Zokin Mamre and the Sanhedrin are taking sides in a case where someone had a case of a bright spot and a white hair, and he didn't know which developed first, and the Zokin Mamre taking one side and the Sanhedrin taking the other side of this controversy, that would be grounds for establishing him as a Zokin Mamre, as a rebellious sage, and he would have to suffer the penalties. Benigei Botim, within the realm of Negoyim that affect houses, what might be a machloikes between the Sanhedrin and the Zokin Mamre, ki ha plukta d'Rebbe Elozer b'Rebbe Shimon v'Rabbonon, they would take sides like the following Tanaic controversy regarding Negoyim of houses, disnan, Rebbe Elozer b'Rebbe Shimon oimer, le'oilam ein habayis tomei, a house does not become tomei as a bias of Negoyim, ad shire kishnei grisin, al shnei avonim, until you have a size that's discolored that would measure two grisin in length, and the two grisin appear on two stones, b'shnei koslim b'keren zavis, on two stones on that constitute two walls that meet up with one another at the corner of the house. So we're talking about a two grisin worth of nega, one gris on one stone, one gris on the other stone, that come together at the corner of a house. That's what's called Bekeren Zovis, the corner. Orkoi kishnei grisin, the length of it, being that each one is a gris by a gris, you put two together, so you get two grisim in length, v'rochboi kigris. So according to Rabbi Elozer b'Rabbi Shimon, you don't have tumas botim unless you have that phenomenon. The Rabbanon disagree. They don't have that restrictive case or that isolated case, but even if it's not on the not in the corner of the house could be affected by Nigei Botim. My time of the Rebbe Shimon, what's the basis of his reasoning, of his opinion? Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Kir Uksiv Kiros. You have Psukim in the realm of Nigei Botim that mentioned the word kir and mentioned the word kiros. There's a singular and there's a plural. Ezu kir shu kishne kiros. What example of a singular wall is like two walls? Hevi omer ze keren zobis. That is the corner. In other words, the corner is in effect a continuum of a wall. It just forms a right angle, but it also is made of two walls. So it has this element of singularity and plurality, pluralness. Benige Bogodim. Before we go on, as we said, the Zokin Mamre and the Sanhedrin would take sides in a machlokis like that. One would assume the opinion of Rav Elazar Shimon, and the other would assume the opinion of the Rabbonan. Benige Bogodim, regarding Negoim that affect clothing, what might be their controversy? But look, the Rav Jenison ben Avtumus Rabbonan, they would take sides, each one a different side, like we see a machlokis in the Tanaic source between Rabbi Yonison and the Rabbonan. Desanya, Rabbi Yonison ben Avtumus Omer, minayin leprichas begodim shi tahora. From where do we know that if a garment becomes covered in this discoloration, this negat discoloration, that if it becomes covered in this, it becomes tahor? The begin is declared tahor. So he says, I know this from the following. Nemar korachas v'gabachas b'vigodim, v'nemar korachas v'gabachas b'odom. These expressions are found by clothing and by people as well. Ma lahalon porach b'kulo tor, just like by a person, we know that if a nega covers his entire body, he becomes tahor. Afkan, so too by b'godim, afkanami porach b'kulo tor. If it spreads over the entire article of clothing, it will become tahor as well. So that's Rabbi Yonasan ben Avtumus's opinion. The Chachomim disagree and say that if a nega covers the entire begin, the begin is not tahor. Those two opinions would be assumed in a machlokas between the Zokei Mamre and the Sanhedrin, one taking one side and the other taking the other side. So up till now, we have established that the term Beinega Lenega in the Pasuk featuring the Zokei Mamre, Nega, Nega, each word Nega is a reference to a realm of Tum'ah, Elohocha. But here, with regard to the expression of Bein Dam Ledam, Im Dam Tohor Leka B'mai Pligi, if there isn't a phenomena known as Dam Tor, so what possibly could the Zokei Mamre and the Sanhedrin be arguing about? Therefore, we have to conclude. Now, I saw in the Sefer Torah Tamima, he mentions that you cannot say that Bein Dam Nida L'Dam Ziva is their machlokis, that given a particular blood sighting that they would be arguing, one would say that the dam is dam nido and the other one would be saying that it is dam ziva, because in the final analysis both dam nido and dam ziva create tuma, and there wouldn't be a significant enough difference between the two, the court and the Zokin Mamre, to constitute a controversy resulting in his becoming condemned as a Zokin Mamre. Therefore, Bein Dam L'Dam has to mean they arguing, one saying that this Dam is Tomei and the other side saying that this Dam is Tor, thereby showing us that the Pasuk itself is referring to Dam that is Tohor. The Gemara now asks, Umimai Dahani Tahurin Vahani Tameim. Who says that which is listed in the Mishnah is Tahor, and other colors would be, or the other way around, that which is mentioned in the Mishnah is Tomei, and any other color would be Tahor? Omer Rabbi Avo, Yomar Kro, Vayiru Moyav Es Hamayim Adumim Kedam. In this pasuk, you see that they saw water to be red like blood. Lememra, this shows us the Dam, Adoim Hu. That blood is red. So if you were asking from how do you know that red would be Tomei and other colors would be Tahor, you see that in this Pasuk, that Adumim is red like blood. So that you see blood is red. The Gemara asks, Emo Odoim Vesulo, maybe only red and not any other color. And yet in our Mishnah we saw a reference to black. How do you know that there are other colors other than red that constitute tumah? Omer Rabbi Avo, Omer Kro. The pasuk says domeha, domeha. There are two psukim in which the word dam appears in the plural form, and the minimum plural is two. So the word domeha is a plural expression of blood, and you have two times pluralness. that will give you a minimum of four. Hare kan arba'a. So that accounts for four colors that of blood that are red. In other words, four different colors that would constitute blood, let us say. Not just pure red, but four different colors that would constitute blood. The Gemara asks, V'anan chamisha tanan. We have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can skim up to the upper part of the page. You'll see the corresponding arrow. And that is how the Mishnah opened up, with the word chamisha. The Mishnah said there are five kinds of blood, five colors that constitute blood. And yet, if you darshan like Rabbi Avos said, domel, domel, you're only going to come out to four colors that would constitute blood. Omar Rabbi Hanina, shohar equals odoim hu. Shohar really is a form of red. Black is a form of red. Ela shaloka, rather, only that it is some type of afflicted blood or injured or sickly blood. So that your basic red will turn into black, but fits into the category. The black is a subcategory, we'll say, of those that exist. So there are really only four basic colors that constitute blood. Tanya Nami Hachi, the source supports this. Shochar is kecheres, black, like the cheres material. Omoik mikain tome, if it's deeper, a deeper shade of black, it's tome, diha. If it's brighter, afilu kochol, even if it has this kochol color, kochol might be associated with a type of navy blue shade, tohor, that's still not black enough. V'shochar ze lo mitchilosa hu mashir. The black blood is not something that at its point of origin it is black. Elo kishenaka hu mashchir, but rather as it starts to flow, as it starts to become disconnected from its original source in the body, it starts to turn black. Moshol ledam mako lishenaka hu mashchir, similar to the case of blood in an injury, that when it is. As it comes out, it turns to as it's exposed to the elements, it becomes darker in color. So that black really is an offshoot of red. So that in our Mishnah, one of the categories was Odoim. Black is a part of that category. Hence, you have only really four categories of blood color that make Tuma, as the Domeho Domeho Drosha suggested. Beishamai omrim af kememe tilson. Beishamai added another color that would constitute dam, and that's this, like the water of the tilson. Gemara asks, v'leslu Beishamai domeo domeo harekan arba'a. Does Beishamai not agree with the drusha of domeo, each one constituting two for a total of four colors? And Beishamai, by saying meme tilson, you're adding to the list. So the Gemara answers, Eboy is same or less. The one approach is that, in fact, Beishamai is not restricted because he doesn't have that tradition on darshaning domeo domeo resulting in four. So he's not restricted to four. The Eboy is same or islehu. Another approach suggests Beishamai does hold from this idea that there are four colors that constitute dam. However, is it not so that Rabbi Chanina mentioned, and we saw this just before, that shochar is really a form of red? It's just an injured red or a changed red. Hachanami, so too with regard to the meme tilson milka hudaloki. It really is something that started off as a basic red, but it underwent some kind of affliction or change. Beisilo mitarin. Beisilo did not accept those things, those colors that Beishamai added to the colors of blood. Beisilo would declare them to be tohar. So the Gemara asks, well, hainu tainakama? Then Beisilo is in effect saying the same thing as the Tanakama, who restricted us to four colors and didn't add any more. The Gemara, so and if that's the case, so what is Beis Hillel adding that I didn't already know from the Tanakama? The Gemara says there is a difference between them. Ika binaihu, litlois. Rashi at the top explains litlos. We're at the top of the of Yutes Omid Beis right now, and the Rashi there says Tanakama sovar chamisha domin tmeim vadai. there are five, we call them 4/5 colors of blood that are definitely tamei. V'idoch sveika, and any other color, like possibly the ones that Beis Shammai added, would be in the category of a doubt. Beis Hillel, Tahurin Mamish. According to Beis Hillel, when he looks at those colors that Beis Shammai added, he says they are definitely tar. There's not even a doubt. So that, you see, is the point of difference. Hayorok, Akavio ben Mahalel Metame. Yorok, we said, was a yellow form, and yellow exusion, that would result in tuma. The Gemara asks, V'les leila kavio domeo domeo hare kan arbo'o. By adding Yorok, you're adding to the list. And does he not hold from the drosha of Domeo Domeo, which results in a basic 4 categories and no more? 4 categories of color that constitute blood. So the Gemara answers, 2 answers. 1, Ibo Yisemo Lesle. 1 is that he really is not restricted because he doesn't hold from that particular drosha. V'iboyes emo, is lay. Another approach suggests he does hold from domel domel. Milom Rabbi Chanina Shochar Odom Hu Elo Shaloka. Is it not so that Rabbi Chanina mentioned that Shochar was simply an aberration of red? Hochanami Milku Hudaloki. So too, with regard to Yorok, Akavi will tell you that it's an aberration of red. V'chachomim Mitarin. Well, we saw the Chachamim don't accept Yorok as being Tomei. So they would be saying the same as the Tanakama. Hainu Tanakama. Are they not one and the same as the Tanakama that said that there are 5 colors that constitute blood and no more? So what is this Chachamim adding to that which we don't know already? The Gemara answers, Iko Binayu Litlos. The point of difference between this Chachamim and the Tanakama is the issue of doubt. According to the Tanakama, we saw before these other colors other than the 5. True, it doesn't result in definite tumah, but it results in possible tumah. It's suffix. And with food that she touches, liklos means we'll leave it in suspension. According to the Chachamim, though, they're metayer entirely, so that a yellow exusion from the woman would not result in any tumah whatsoever. Amar Rabbi Meir, im eino mitame mishum kesem, mitame mishum mashke. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading on the outside margin, where we've written Shitas Rabbi Meir Bedam Hayorok. We're going to involve ourselves with Rabbi Meir, who spoke about Dam Hayorok, that it's mitame shemitame mishum mashke. This is what Rabbi Meir said, that if you're not going to acknowledge it as being a source of nidah for the woman, that she does not become tamea, if it wouldn't constitute a stain, because Rabbi Meir said, "Im eino mitame mishum kesem," if it doesn't classify a color to make her tamea as a woman would become tamea through a stain of this color, so at least let the yorok be considered mashke. You see, in the Gemara, as we go on, a number of diamonds that appear with the expression within it, Hochi ka'omar lohu, thusly he said to them, thusly Rabbi Meir is arguing to the Rabbonah. And under the Mivneh heading in the outside margin, you can see we have a diamond featured, and Hochi ka'omar lohu, in quotation marks, that's the expression in the diamond, Shlavim lahasbir ma omar Rabbi Meir lechachomim. We're going to try to understand what did Rabbi Meir say to the chachomim when he said, "Im eino mitame mishum kesem, mitame mishum mashke." What was he trying to say? The Gemara, Omar of Yochanan, Yorad Rabbi Meir l'shita sakavya ben mal alel v'timei. Rabbi Meir himself holds, like a kavya mal alel, that yoroik, this yellow exusion, is a basis for tumah of the woman. V'hochi ka'omar luhulu rabbanan. And thusly, he was arguing, namely, thusly Rabbi Meir was arguing to the rabbanan. Nehi dehecha deka mishkachas kesem yorok. A mona lo mitamisu. Granted, when you find a stain that has this yorok, yellow color on her garment, you do not declare tuma. Hecha de kochasya dam yorok migufa tomei. However, if she has a flow of dam yorok from her body, you should concede that she is tamea. just like Akavya ben Mahalalel would have had you believe. So Rebbe Meir is trying to reflect Rebbe Akavya ben Mahalalel's approach. The Gemara says it's not likely that this is what Rebbe Meir was saying. If he was saying that, then the expression that's in the Mishnah is not appropriate. In the Mishnah, this is a quote from the Mishnah, Im eino metame mishum kesem, metame mishum mashke. But if your approach is correct, that he was arguing, let her become tome as a result of a flow, then mishum roya mibayale. Rabbi Meir should have been saying to the Chachomim, if you're not metame because of a stain, be metame because of a sighting. Why did Rabbi Meir use the expression mashke? Mashka meaning a drink or a beverage. Elohochi ka'omalahu. Rather, this is what Rabbi Meir was trying to argue with against the Chachamim. Nehi hecha de kochazio dam yorak meikara lo metamis. Granted that if the initial flow of blood from her is a yellow color, you are not metama her as a roya, because maybe it's not blood, because you don't consider it blood. If she had a red flow, normal blood flow, and then this yellow flow came out of her, why not declare that the dam yoroik is mitame, means if someone touches that substance, this yellow substance, that they would become tome, midi dahave amashke zav zava, similar to the saliva or urine that comes from a zav or a zava. You're talking about someone that's tome, and the liquids that come forth from them are tome. Why not say that the yoroik that comes from a woman that became a nido because she had a red sighting, that the yoroik should be a source of tuma for one who touches the yoroik fluid? And there's precedent for this. A person who has a zav or a zava, these are people that are tomei, and the liquids that come from them, for example, their saliva and their urine, will mitame those who touch it. The Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Meir, say, Dumya Darok. If you want to talk about body fluids coming from a tomei person, thereby themselves communicating tuma, it would have to have the characteristics of roik being saliva. Ma roik shimis agil v'yotzei, just like saliva, before it comes out of one's body, it accumulates and then comes out. And the same thing with urine, it accumulates before it comes out, it doesn't just dribble out. Af kol shimis agil v'yotzei, so too any other liquid that gathers together first before it exits. Lafuke hai, to the exclusion of the dam yorok, the ein mis agil v'yotzei, it doesn't gather together, it drips out, drip after drip. It doesn't gather together before it comes out. Ihochi, if this be the case, then Shapir ko amri le Rabbonon le Rebbe Meir, then the Rabbonon have a very sound argument against Rebbe Meir. How can Rebbe Meir maintain such a havamina that the dam yorok that comes from a tomei woman would be metame? After all, it doesn't have the characteristics of liquids that come from tomei people that we know are metame. Ela hachi karmelahu. Thusly, Rebbe Meir was trying to argue to the Rabbonon. Lehevei kemachshke lahachshir es hazroyim. Let the dam yorok that comes from the woman be a source of hechshir, just like there are other liquids that when they gather on fruit, when fruit becomes wet through certain kinds of liquids, the fruit becomes susceptible to becoming tomei. That's called being mukshor lekabel tuma. So why not say that the dam yorok also would be capable of being machshir food to absorb tuma? The Rabbanan argue back that the dam yorok cannot be a machshir. Boi dam halolim veleka. Dam, blood, that is a machshir, it has to be dam hanefesh. That's dam halolim, dam hanefesh. And that is all based on a posuk. If you Rashi quotes the pasuk "Dam halolim yishteh." Rashi says, "Dam shanefesh yetzibul kori mashke." The dam that comes from the departure of life is called a mashke. A mashke is a liquid that's capable of being machshir l'kabel tuma. Uin hechshir, and regarding this concept of readying something for tuma absorption, readying food for tuma absorption, you require a liquid that's categorized as a mashke. Kedichtiv, v'asher yobo lov mayim yitmo b'chol mashke asher yishose. Klomar, oichol mashke asher yishose, oichol and mashke that you drink, yobo al oichol will come on food and machshir it and ready it for tumah absorption. So that in the realm of blood, it has to be dam halolim or dam hanefesh, as we saw in the pasuk that said dam halolim yishteh. Since this is not blood that is associated with life departure, it's just an exusion from the woman, it's not considered a mashke to machshir. So that, if that, well, that sounds like a very solid argument on the part of the Rabbanan. Yochi shapir kram li Rabbanan l'Rabbi Meir. If that be the case, the Rabbanan have a resounding response to such an attempt. So what could Rabbi Meir have possibly had in mind? Elo hochi ka'amar luhu. Rather, thusly, Rabbi Meir was arguing. Alfu b'gzera shava. Learn the power of the Dam Yorok to be machshir lekabel tuma through a gezeira shava, through a word comparison. Ksiv hocha shlochayach b'pardes rimoinim uksiv hosam v'sholeach mayim al penei chutzos. In these two psukim you have the word sholach, so there's a word comparison linking the two up. Now, in the pasuk of shlochayach pardes rimoinim, there is an allusion to the dam, according to Rabbi Meir, there's an allusion to the dam yoroik. And Rashi elaborates on this, pardes rimoinim, kepardes zeh, like an orchard, shehu na'ul hishtomer, that an orchard that has fruit in it is usually fenced up and locked up to guard its contents. Kach penois Yisrael, noyalus pischeim bimei nidusan, so too Jewish women lock themselves up, so to speak, when they are nidos, mizokek lebaleim, they restrain themselves from having intimacy with their husbands. In pre-megodim, hainu bonim, the pasuk makes reference to the pre-megodim, namely the fruit that comes from these orchards. The fruit is a reference to children. Uksiv shiluach b'mayim, and also by mayim you see the word shiluach. Ma mayim machshirim, just like water is machshir, af dam nidus machshir, so too nidos blood will be machshir. The point being that through this gezeira shava we expand the blood capacity as a machshir beyond the realm of life blood. So since we're expanding the realm of blood beyond simple life blood, so other kinds of blood are machshir, as you can see through this gezeira shava. So Rabbi Meir is claiming, let the dam yorok be included in this particular limud, and the dam yorok should be machshir. The Rabbanon respond to this claim of Rabbi Meir, and say, Adam don kalvachomer mi'atzmo, vein adam don gezeira shava mi'atzmo. A person can exercise kalvachomer logic on his own. That's when you're trying to prove a point from some type of previous known factor by using logic. However, gezeira shava, which is a word comparison, a person doesn't do that on his own. You have to have a tradition for that. And the Rabbanon are claiming that there is no tradition for this particular gezeira shava, hence it doesn't get off the ground. And we're left with this machlokis then, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, regarding how to treat the dam yorok as a machshir, as a machshir for zroyim. So that just to tie up any loose ends here, we go back to the quote from the Mishnah that opened this section, where Rabbi Meir said, "Im eino metame mishum kesem." So metame mishum mashke, Rabbi Meir was trying to say that, granted, you don't agree with Akavim HaHalalel that she would become a Nida through Dam Yoroik, but at least the Dam Yoroik should be treated as a Mashke, as a Machshir L'Kabel Tumah. And the Chachomim disagree. Rabbi Yossi Omer Loikach V'Loikach. Rabbi Yossi was saying, regarding this Dam Yoroik, it's not Metamaher as a Nida, and it's not a Machshir either. Well, Hainu Tanakama. Isn't Rabbi Yossi saying the same as the Tanakama, who mentioned there are only four colors or five colors that constitute Dam, and not this, not Yoroik? So the Gemara answers, Hokamashmon. The fact that Rabbi Yossi appears over here in a seeming redundant fashion is to tell us, Man Tanakama Rabbi Yossi. Who is the Tanakama? The Tanakama, in fact, is Rabbi Yossi. So that the Tanakama who restricts me to the five colors to the exclusion of Yoroik is Reb Yoisi. V'chala Omer Dover B'Shem Omro Mevi Gula Liolam. And when something is stated in the name of the author, as we are doing here, saying that the mission is authored by Reb Yoisi, this is a means of bringing redemption to the world. And there's a source for that idea found elsewhere, learned from the story of the Megillas Esther and Esther saying over the actions of Mordechai, saying it over in his name, mentioning his name, which eventually led to the Purim redemption story. Ezu Odoim Kedam Hamako. What is red? The Mishnah reviewed the different blood colors featured at the opening of the Mishnah, and at this point when it was reviewing the what is red, it said red like the blood of an injury or of a bruise. That's a literal translation, but now the Gemara goes on, and you can see we have a lot of markings that follow. We have on our outside margin the Nosei Mivne, where a triangle is featured. Dalid Shitas, four opinions. Mau Odoim Kedam Amaka. What is meant by red like the blood of Amaka? And the double underlines highlight the Dalid Dugmois Shalanao, four examples of what is meant by Dam Hamaka. So if you scan ahead in the Gemara, you see there's Dam Shor Shochud, Dam Tzipur Chaya, Dam Achilas Shel Roish, Dam Etzve Ketana, and finally Dam Hakoza. The Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. After asking what is meant by my Kedam Hamaka, so Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, Kedam Shor Shochut, like the blood of a slaughtered ox. The Gemara asks, Valemo Kedam Shchita, why not say like the blood of Shchita? Why does the Mishnah say Kedam Maka? E Omar Kedam Shchita. The Gemara answers, had the Mishnah worded itself as the blood of slaughtering, Havamina Kekula Shchita, I would have thought that the blood that comes out throughout the Shechita, and it should be noted that when an animal is slaughtered and a blood flow ensues, there are actually different colors, different hues of red that appear. So I would have thought that any color that appears in the blood flow during Shechita would be Dam Nida. Komash Malon, that's why the Mishnah doesn't say that, but it rather says Kedam Hamaka, which means Ketchilas Hakol Shel Sakin. It's the first gush of red that comes out is the red color that we are interested in establishing Tumah. Ula Omar Kedam Tzipor Chaya. Like the blood that comes out from a living bird that receives a slash or an injury. Ibayaloho, chaya, does the word chaya in this presentation of Ula mean lafuke shachut, as opposed to a slaughtered bird? In other words, blood that comes out from a live bird and not blood that comes out from a slaughtered bird. Or does the word chaya mean healthy as opposed to a scrawny bird, a sickly bird? Teku. So this remains unresolved. But as far as Ula is concerned, the pshat in Dam Hamaka is blood that comes from a tzipor chaya. Just a minor correction in what we said for our introductory remark regarding this section of Gemara. There are really five, not four, we mentioned four shitos, there are five shitos as to what is meant by the redness of Dam Hamaka. So we just learned the second one, namely Ula's opinion, was like the blood from a Tzipor Chaya. Continuing in the Gemara, Ziri Omar Rebbe Chanina, Ziri in quoting Rebbe Chanina says, Kedam Macholus Shel Roish. Macholus is a type of insect that is referred to over here. So he says it's like the blood of that insect that is found on one's head. Meisvei. The Gemara asks a question. Horgo Macholus Hare Ze Toilabo. This is in the context of blood stains on a woman's garment. And it says that if a woman happened to squish or kill one of these bugs, the Macholus bug, then she would be able to explain the red stain as coming from that insect. But in the same breath, if she didn't kill that insect, we would have to assume it's coming from her. So we see that the Dam Macholus is a shade of red that would otherwise be like Nida. What's the question here? In this source, it says, Dam Macholus, my lav de kule gufa, Macholus that appears anywhere on one's body, not necessarily just the Macholus that appears in one's head. Lo, de Roisha. Now we're speaking specifically about a macholus that appears on a person's head. That kind of bug has the red color that is associated with the color of nida. There might be different types of macholus bugs that appear on people's bodies, not on their heads, but it won't have the shade of red that we are interested in. Ami Vardino, Omar Rabbi Avohu. Ami Vardino. Vardino is a reference either to where he is from or it's a description of what he looked like. Nevertheless, we'll just refer to it as a name. Ami Vardino quotes Rabbi Avo, Kedam Etzba Ketana Shel Yad. It is like the blood that comes from the small finger on a person's hand. Shenogfa V'choyse V'chozer V'nogfa. Blood that comes from such a finger after it has been injured twice. In other words, if we're talking about a second injury on one small finger, injury in the same location, the blood that comes out from that would be the color of Nida blood. Below shell kol adam, and when we speak about the blood oozing out of someone's small finger, we're not talking about blood of just anyone's hand. Ela shel bochur, from a young boy, a male, shelo nosa isha, who had never been married. The ad kamo, and up till what age? Ad ben esrim. So it's highly qualified what kind of blood we are talking about here when referring to the blood coming from the small finger. Meisvei, we raise a contradiction or a challenge to this. Toila bivno ubebaila. A woman who has a blood stain can, if she has a son or her husband and they happen to have an injury and that exudes blood and she notices a stain on her garment, she can say that the blood came from them, from her son or from her husband. So, bishlamo bivno mishkachas law. I understand the case of blood coming from her son, that would be, she'd be able to explain away the stain as coming from him, so it's coming from her son that was under 20 and never married. Because it's only that kind of blood that would otherwise be confused with Nida blood. And if she has a son like that, that's under 20, never married, and his finger has had a double injury, she could say that the stain on her garment came from him. If the qualification was a man that was never married, how can she be toiled on her husband? After all, her husband is married to her. So how can she be tole when that kind of blood doesn't match the color that would constitute nida blood? Omer of Nahum Yitzchok Kegoin, the case of Baila featured in this source is a case as follows. Kegoin shenichnasa l'chupa v'lo nivala. This is a man that entered the marriage canopy, the chupa, which is a form, we'll call it a form of marriage, but she didn't have intimacy with him yet. And he happens, and so that's called, and he's, of course, he's under, we're talking about a fellow under 20, and that state of pre-intimacy gives rise to the blood color that is associated with the color of Nida, blood. And since he has this injury, and she finds a stain on her garment, so she can associate the stain with that particular injury. If he didn't have it, so it would be Nida, blood. So we see that those are the interchangeable colors, or the interchangeable situations that have the same color. Rav Nachman Omar Kedam HaKoza. The redness of Dam HaMaka is like the blood from as a result of bloodletting. Meisfe, Maise V'Tola Rebbe Meir was an incident, and it's going to be pointed out, by the way, that this question is going to be a question raised against all of the opinions that we've seen till now. There was an incident where Rebbe Meir explained a stain, that's V'Tola, a kesem. Tola means he explained away a stain. And now we continue at the very top of Daf Chof, the Kilor, the Rebbe Tola Besraf Shikma. Kilor, Rashi gives a French explanation of that. So we, in our tradition of non-translation of words that we don't have a solid tradition on, will simply refer to it as Kilor, but Rashi points out it's something red. And she was involved with handling this substance, this Kilor substance. And it, according to Rebbe Meir, was something that we can ascribe a stain to the Kilor and not to Nida. So you see that it is similar to Dam Nida, but since she was handling the Kilor, we can say she is Torah because the stain probably came from the Kilor. Now, Rashi at the top line, where we've dashed underline, adds the main point. The Afagav, the Lohavi, Sumik, Kulehai. Even though this Kilor and the Sraf Shikma that Rebbe mentions is not as red, or Rashi certainly is explaining regarding the Kilor, is not as red as the other things that were mentioned in the list. So we have a Tanaic source indicating something that's not as red as the other things mentioned, and yet it would have been Dam Nida. My lav, a'odoim. Is it not so that the reference to this Kilor and the Sraf Shikma is in the realm of redness? So that he was Toile, the Kesem, the stain, as a result of the Kilor or the Sraf Shikma. Sraf Shikma is sap that comes from a Shikma tree. Is it not so that this was within the realm of redness? Loi Asha'ar Domin. No, it's a reference to the other colors. The Mishnah mentioned, gave us a list of five different blood colors. Only one of them was red, but the others would also have made her into a Nida. So the source here with Rebbe Meir and Rebbe being Toile, the stain on Kilor, Sraf Shikma, they were being Toile, one of the other colors mentioned in the Mishnah, as coming from Kilor or Sraf Shikma, not Dam Nida. Ameimar Umar Zutra Ravashi Aviyaspi Kame Umna. These three Rabbonim were sitting by a bloodletter, Umna, a person who is Mekiz Dam, using a horn, a type of utensil that was used for extracting blood. Shakli Le Karna Kamaisil Ameimar. So Ameimar underwent the bloodletting procedure. The first hornful of blood was removed from Ameimar. Chazia, he noticed it. Omar Lahu, he says to Marzutra Ravashi, says, Odoim Desnan, the red mentioned in our Mishnah, Kihai, is like that. He noticed the blood that was in the horn and said, that's the redness level that the Mishnah intends when describing the color of Nida, blood. Shakti Le'achriso, he needed additional blood extraction, so they took a second hornful from him. Amalu Ishtani. So Amalu said, no, now this looks different. And that this second hornful does not have the color of the first hornful. Amar Ravashi, Kagon Ano. So Ravashi, who was there, he said, someone like me, the Lo Yodano Bain Hai Lehai, I don't see a difference between the first hornful and second hornful. I don't have that sensitivity to color. Lo mi boya li le merci doma. I should not sit in judgment in checking out blood colors in order to determine what is Tomei and what is Tohar. So he, in this way, he disqualified himself from being one of those types of people that should sit in judgment concerning rulings dealing with blood color. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.